Tonight, Psalm 115, and you may want to just keep that place because I'm going to use verses from the whole chapter as we go along here, but we'll start out with verses 9, 10, and 11. Psalm 115, 9, 10, and 11. You'll notice the redundancy in the verses. Redundancy is for a purpose, not to insult your intelligence, not to check your hearing or your reading or your comprehension, but it's for emphasis. The scripture is emphasizing a principle and a concept for your benefit. And the more we absorb it, the more we believe it, the more we claim it, the better things are going to be. So the psalmist writes, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And it's not simply because he ran out of words, and he just felt like he needed to repeat what had been written. Again, the emphasis is there to underline the importance. And I'm thankful a help and shield is what we can believe our God to be and provide for us. Praise God. Think of the help that was offered to people that God called to specific purposes. Noah was an amateur. He didn't build any boats before this. He didn't have any experience, especially in building an ark of this size. And we know it took over 100 years to construct. I'm amazed at the speed at which some of the buildings are erected around town. And how incredible and how amazing it can be built. I just finished reading a book that highlighted some of the people who were industrious and key in constructing various buildings or edifices or bridges in our country, in the Brooklyn Bridge in particular. Built in the 1800s, my goodness, something that colossal, something that huge. Probably the only one that has driven on it has been Brother Alex. You drive on the Brooklyn Bridge? Sure enough, I don't know if anybody else has. I haven't even seen it, just pictures. But the story was that most of the components, most of the parts in the construction of that bridge were brand new. They'd never been used before. They'd never been involved in construction. The engineer who was head of it and then explained it to his team of engineers and then how they were able to build, it was just amazing, incredible. But our God does something even more. And I'm thankful that the hand of God is there to minister, and how Joshua told him, you've not been this way before. You stay close to the ark. You follow it right along. It's the presence of God. You don't let it get out of sight. You don't let it get out of your proximity, your presence. You stay with it. Praise God. Especially because you haven't been this way before. And that pretty much describes our journey, doesn't it? And the Lord gave Noah the knowledge, the ability, and he completed the task, and then it fulfilled its purpose, and it's quite an amazing story. There are many that scoff at it, many that say, that's a good fable, that's a good story, it's a good legend, but it never happened. Well, we'll see. Praise God. Moses, being a liberator and a leader of Israel, we know he tried in his own thinking, his own attempt prior to the burning bush, and it didn't work out so well. And he spent 80 years then mulling over that mistake. Well, he probably didn't mull over it. But knowing human nature, you go back over things and you say, what if, or if only, and just kind of relive the things, you know, that you can't change anyway. And so it's best just to move on. But the burning bush liberated Moses from any excuses, from any fear, from any reservation, any holding back. When he heard the voice say, I am that I am, is who you're going to say sent you. And that, you know, that still raises questions, really. But yet it was enough for Moses, and it was enough for the people of Israel to recognize this is the way God's going to do it. Now, Egypt didn't receive it. It took 10 plagues that got progressively worse, in terms progressively difficult, hard, a hardship upon the people of Israel, upon the Pharaoh, who kept refusing to let the people of God go. Now, he did offer 4 compromises. You look in the book of Exodus, and he offers 4 compromises to the people of Israel. Yeah, you can go, but don't go too far. Yeah, you can go, but leave your flocks and herds. Yeah, you can go, but leave your children. You know, he was trying to assuage what was in the mind and heart of Moses and the people of God, but it was, let my people go. Amen. And the miracles on the journey to the Jordan, again, just emphasized and underscored how the Lord was going to provide for them and give them help. Gideon, with a few but faithful followers, brought such an incredible victory to the people of Israel. And the victory being enhanced or underscored even by the enemy. When he went down to the enemy's camp, kind of spying out the things, and he heard the interpretation of the dream and so on, how did he end up at the particular tent? How did he end up at that particular campfire? And to hear those two individuals talking about the dream and the meaning of the dream, and Gideon then recognize this is the hand of God. And the Lord brought forth the victory. Praise God. Isaiah 41:10 is still a wonderful and powerful passage of Scripture. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise God. Now, the right hand usually is described power. Those of us who are left-handed, that's the arm that is strongest, but we understand it's right hand is symbolic of power. And the Lord is declaring, that's where my power is. So when he, in the psalm, says, Israel, oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Praise God. He was leading them to become a great nation because that's what he promised to Abraham. Amen. And thank God, the Lord brought forth his power and his might. We know Joseph went to Egypt and made the way with the help of the Lord and the power that God would display on Joseph's behalf. The Lord was with him. You see that 4 times in the book of Genesis, and then 1 time in the book of Acts. That again would underscore, the repetition underscores the fact God had not forsaken him. Praise God. And he held on. As a young man, he refused temptation. And the hand of the Lord was there, and his family joined him, 70 of them. 400 years later, 600,000 men, not counting the families, 600,000 men leave with Moses. That's the hand of God doing a work, a pillar of cloud that accompanied them by day and a pillar of fire by night. And I'm thankful the scripture says the Lord went before them. Amen. Now, whenever that cloud moved, whenever that pillar of fire moved, they got up and moved. and they knew to follow the presence of the Lord. What a strong symbolism for us today to not move until the Lord moves. And when he does move, praise God, to be confident that the Lord is going to provide and the blessing that was there. And we know the drowning of the Egyptian army. It was like the pillar was a cloud or a shield. Darkness on the side of Pharaoh and his army and light on the side of Moses and the people of Israel. So God knows how to fulfill his word. Praise God. Let me just go through some real quick examples even further. 2 Chronicles 20, one of my favorite passages about Jehoshaphat and Judah, threatened by three armies, Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, and then the prayer meeting that they had. All Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, they stood before the Lord. I like that kind of unity. I like that kind of focus. And it's a good thing to be able to bind together in prayer and seek the Lord. And we know the message that came to Jehoshaphat and all the people of Judah was, the battle is not yours, but God's. Praise God. No wonder there was praise. No wonder there was worship. And the Lord was a shield to them. Praise God. He made the enemy fight against them, each other, fight among themselves, and they slaughtered each other. That's incredible confusion. Now, the Lord is not the author of confusion in the church, but he certainly was the author of confusion in this situation. Praise God. The enemy ended up fighting with each other. The church is not to fight with each other. Amen. That's what the Lord is going to bring to the enemy. And the people of God were gathering the spoils for 3 days, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. But look at the history of Israel in the wilderness and how they conquered Canaan and how they had water come out of the rock, how every morning they had manna, and then the quail, and all of the instances where the Lord provided for them and their miraculous existence from that point on. Canaan being conquered, the Babylonian captivity, they came out of it and came out of it never worshiping idols again, and also having not just the temple, but having synagogues as well, because when they were in Babylon, they didn't have a temple, but they made places of worship and called them synagogues, and that's what they brought back to Jerusalem. The pogroms of Russia. And you look at the history of that and the people, the Jewish people being persecuted and treated terribly. The Holocaust, 6 million Jews being killed in that situation. And the triumphs of today. Many of you were not around in 1967. And I was a brand new Christian hearing about the Six-Day War. And thinking, oh God, if you come now, I need to be ready. Oh God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, help me to be ready. Because it was a very real thing. Very real. And yet even with the armies that were arrayed against them, they've triumphed and they've triumphed again and again. So the Lord being their help and their shield, thank God. Aaron is symbolic of the priesthood and a mediator. We know his mistake when Moses was on the mountain and the people said, we don't know what's happened to him, but we need to be able to worship, and the golden calf came about. The mistakes were made by man and by their not being able to handle the waiting. But after that situation, they learned to trust the Lord. They learned to rely upon the Lord and be able to follow through and use the word of God as a weapon. 2 Chronicles 15 and 8 describes a situation in Israel that hopefully will not be repeated again, and certainly not among the people of God. Israel was without God. That's the first circumstance that needs to be avoided. They were without a teaching priest. They didn't have someone to direct them and guide them. And thirdly, they were without the law. That's a lot of withouts that we can do without. Amen. We got to make sure that we're following what God says in His Word and be able to be directed by Him. I like Proverbs 30 and 5. Every word of God is pure and a shield to them that trust. Praise God. It's a shield. I'm thankful the Word of God can be a shield. But the Lord impugned the Levite and the priest in his story about the Good Samaritan. The Levite passing on one side, the priest passing on the other side, and it was the Samaritan that offered the poor man who had been robbed and injured help. The Good Samaritan was the one who stepped forward and was a help and a shield to that man. And the priest needed to recognize what was right and come back to that place in the Lord. And thank God, the revival in the book of Acts, Acts 6 and 7, includes the priests. And why not? I mean, the servant of the high priest, what was his name? Malchus. He was without an ear for a minute or so. And then the Lord reattached that ear. Don't you know that story got around in the temple grounds? Don't you know there were people who would look at him and, Malchus, turn your head. Which ear was it? That one? Man. What did it feel like? Well, it hurt. No. What did it feel like when he put it back on? You know, I don't know if they had those conversations, but my goodness, how could they not? What an incredible miracle. And then while the Lord was hanging on the cross, the veil tore. The veil in the temple. Now, how did they explain that? It's no wonder that Acts 6 and 7 is part of the record. Many of the priests obeyed. Praise God. Many of the priests came into this truth, and we thank the Lord that they trusted the Lord, that they looked to Him for their help and shield. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we can boldly say, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. Praise God. Amen. Easy to say, but be able to step out on that truth and be able to live it day by day is what God is going to help you to do. Amen. And thank God that we know He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And verse 5 of Hebrews 13 is actually taken from Deuteronomy 31 and 6. I like the way there's that constant connection of the Old Testament appearing in the New Testament, because that's the Word of God functioning together. And we know it's not just, here's something new. Oh, here's something exciting. We know the New Testament is a new covenant, a new beginning. And thank the Lord that happens in our lives when we're born again of the water and of the Spirit, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, being filled with the Spirit. Praise God. A new life. And thank God we're able to step into that realm and know the blessings of the Lord, and that it's true. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. Now, the sad thing is the devil offers substitutes for shields and help. The devil offers ways that you can turn to an alternative and think that that's going to be adequate, that that's going to be good enough, and this is what I came up with, this is what somebody is suggesting, this is what a philosopher or a religion or whatever is saying that you can do. Well, no, I want to hold to the Word of God, because in the first part of the chapter, verses 4 through 8 in Psalm 115, the psalmist is denouncing the idols that the people feel they could put their trust in. He said, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes, but they see not. Ears, but they hear not. Noses, but they smell not. Hands, but they handle not. Feet, but they walk not. In other words, they're just pieces of stone or wood. They're nothing. Just want to go out here and pick up a stone or a piece of wood and set it up and worship it. That's about all it will amount to. And then, of course, they fashion it, they carve it, they make it look like a being of some sort, but there's no help, there's no shield, there's just bondage and destruction. That's why the scripture tells us today, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Now the media talks about idols in the sport world, in Hollywood, entrepreneurial activities, and so on. Well, we call them heroes, but sometimes they actually become idols as well. And we've got to be on guard against that, as well as materialism and things becoming our idol. Now, speaking of that, there were gold shields that Solomon had made. He had taken the gold from Shishak of Egypt, and he made those gold shields, and they hung them in the temple. And they were amazing. One of the enemies of Israel came and took those gold shields. The value of them was recognized, and he decided he's going to strip those shields down and take them away, and Israel, Judah, couldn't do anything about it. But what did Rehoboam do? He made bronze shields in their place. Now, admittedly, if they were going to use those shields in actual battle, bronze is probably stronger than gold, probably able to withstand blows and strikes and slashes and all of that sort of thing. But that wasn't their purpose. Their purpose was to display the splendor, the majesty, and to show how great the kingdom was. And so for Rehoboam to say, we don't have the gold ones, let's just make some bronze ones and put them up. We'll burnish them, we'll polish them, they'll look like gold, and we'll go ahead and place them in there, up there on the wall. The guards were given substitutes as though nothing changed. That's not the way to operate. That's not the way to walk with God. You can't pretend things are the same when you lose the shield of the Lord. You're in jeopardy. You're in danger. Things could really get topsy-turvy in your walk with God. So there has to be the recognition. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. They're just one, and he is Lord. And of course, we know his name now to be Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no other God. There's no other name. There's no other foundation. There's no other gospel. The scripture makes that very clear and very strong in the Word of God. And we thank the Lord that we're able to step into that realm and be directed by him and keep ourselves from idols. Amen. Now, him being our help and our shield brings about this aspect of trust. Okay, a help and a shield, that's nice. But what does that mean to me? It means you're to trust. It means you're to claim, you're to recognize that's what God wants to be for you. Psalm 37, in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Look at that. Trust, delight, commit. Those are actions that are your responsibility, where you have that in your court, and how then you're to act upon the command and be directed in the aspects of relying upon the Lord. Proverbs 3 and 5, probably a memory verse of many Sunday school children and every adult as well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Hard not to do that, isn't it? Hard not to put our understanding, our priorities, our thinking, our goals in place there, and that's what we're going to trust in. Put those things aside and say, God, I don't know what I don't know what your plan is, but I need to know. And lead me, guide me, help me. And the results of that kind of trust are seen in the next verse. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Praise God. I'm thankful it works. Do you know what works?
Yes.
Sure you do. And if you don't, you will, if you keep trusting. Praise God. And thank the Lord. Those blessings are there. Okay, now let's go back to Psalm 115, because there's this element of a blessing that the Lord wants to emphasize. And again, the repetition is for emphasis so that we can understand that's exactly what the Lord wants to do. Look at verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. And there's that repetition again. And it continues on. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I like that, heaven and earth. Amen. As my help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He's more than qualified. He's definitely the first and the last that you need to seek based on that qualification. He made heaven and earth. So can he make a way for you? Can he provide for you when it seems like there is no way? Can he make it come together according to his plan when it seems like it's all chaos and trauma? Yes, he can. Praise God. And we trust him, we wait upon him, we believe him, and we know he's going to provide and he's going to minister. So the end of the chapter, verse 18, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that can be how we channel our outlook. How we decide, okay, may not be working, may not be clear, may not be the way I'd like it to be, but I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to praise him. Praise God. I'm going to lift up his name. Thank God, all the way into everlasting. Praise God. Now, verses 14 that we just read, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ooh. Promises unto you and to your children, the scripture says. Now, here's an amazing verse. I'm sure I've seen it before, but it just amazed me again when I noted it. Deuteronomy 1 and 10. Moses is telling the Lord your God hath multiplied you. And behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. That's quite a multiplication. Then look at verse 11. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he hath promised you. Praise God. Multiply by 1,000, add three zeros. Is that right, Mrs. Perkins? We gotta follow through there. Amen. Not just one zero, not just two zeros, add three zeros. 1,000 times. Thank God that the Lord provides for us in that way. Abraham was given this promise of a mighty nation, and Isaac was born, a miracle baby. That was the beginning. God was faithful to his promise. And then we see the nation, praise God, the nation coming forth. God knows how to give the increase. God knows how to provide. God knows how to bring it together and minister to you in a way that is going to exalt him. Amen. And thank God that we're able to work with him, laborers together with God. The scripture says, 1 Corinthians 3, 6, that some plant, some water. But who gives the increase? God. God gives the increase. and how incredible his increase can be. Amen. I'm excited that we can count one. Amen. Because one is worth the whole world. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He gained the whole world and lose his soul. Profits him nothing. So just one is something to get excited about. Praise God. But the Lord gives the increase. And I'm thankful the church is still on the increase. Children are still being called. Praise God. Excited about Jackie getting baptized on Saturday. And when she comes back from Pennsylvania, we'll give her certificate and celebrate. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the church increaseth, Colossians 2:19, increaseth with the increase of God. What an incredible opportunity to see the Lord operate, to see the Lord manifest his power, to recognize that's exactly what God desires to do. Amen. He is our help. He is our shield. Amen. Now, let's think for just a moment. The shield. What does it shield you from? We still have sickness. We still have surgeries. We still have troubles. We still have trials, tests, tribulations, falls and failures, disease and death. That's a shield. What does it shield you from? Losing out with God. That's the shield that needs to be in place. I am not going to stop trusting him. I'm not going to stop believing him. Praise God. I'm going to continue on. Amen. He is my help. He is my shield. Praise God. So I'll take that shield of faith, Ephesians 6, 16, above all, take that shield. And then you shall be able. What? Me? I want the Lord to do it. I want the church to do it. You shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Fiery darts is a double danger. A dart alone would be fatal. But they're fiery. Whatever they strike is going to ignite on fire. The devil's really after you. You can't face him yourself. Yeah, you can't, as far as trust goes, you got to trust the Lord. Don't trust your own thinking, your own way, your own plan. Lord, you've got to be in charge. Lord, you've got to be the one directing me. Lord, you've got to be the authority in my life. Praise God. And we come up with all kinds of harebrained ideas. Some of us. That's terrible. I saw you laughing. So, I've got to make sure that shield is there. I've got to make sure it's in place. Because that's how I'm going to be able to quench those fiery darts. I'm going to be able to put them out. I'm not going to quench the Spirit. The Bible says don't quench the Spirit. The Bible says don't grieve the Spirit. Amen. I think those are serious offenses that we've got to make sure we avoid. No matter how right we feel, no matter how justified I may try to convince myself, don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Amen. Quench those fiery darts with the shield of faith. Praise God. And continue on in your walk with God. And I'm thankful that's the plan of the Lord. You can overcome. I like Romans 8 and 37, where you're more than conquerors. The other translations render it in pretty unique ways. I think one of them said, super conquerors. And overcomers, and you know, just all. If you want to do some exploring sometime, look at Romans 8:37 in different versions, different translations, and it's just amazing how it can be expanded from the idea of being more than a conqueror. The Spirit will help you. The Spirit will direct you. The Spirit will protect you. You will survive, and you will thrive. Because God's plan is to make you a conqueror. Amen. That doesn't mean you're going to be without the battle. Oh, no. In order to be a conqueror, you've got to face the enemy. You've got to overcome. You've got to win the battle. Praise God. But the Lord is who's going to be there to minister to you. Praise God. He's mindful of you, and he will bless you. And I'm thankful. That's what we can put our trust in. 1 John 5 and 4, a wonderful promise. The victory that overcometh the world. And we can fill in the blank there in all kinds of ways and all kinds of ideas. But the scripture says, it's your faith. My faith? I want something more dynamic. Something more exotic. Something more exuding power. Your faith is what will do all of those things when you trust the Lord. Praise God. And you look to him to be your help and your shield. Amen. Now let's go back to Psalm 115. The very first verse, I think, needs to be a threshold of entering into the power and the blessing of the Lord. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Praise God. It's all about his name. And thank the Lord, we know the name above every name. Thank God. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Oh, goodness. What incredible attributes of God. Mercy and truth. Truth would have resulted in that woman being stoned. You know, they set it up. They dragged her in. Moses' law says, but what do you say? It was a trap. She was the bait. They didn't care about her. They had stones. They were ready. Crushed the life out of her. Jesus stooped, but not to pick up stones. He began to write in the dirt. We don't know what he wrote. Did he list their sins? Did he write mercy, compassion, love? I don't know. That would be something to ask him, wouldn't it? The first million years we're in heaven, Lord, what did you write? Praise God. More important that he writes in our hearts. The Spirit writes in our hearts. Praise God. And thank the Lord. Let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone. Thank the Lord that they had sense enough to be convicted, not charging ahead. We have the right. Moses' law says we're going to bring justice. You know, foolishly, they could have stepped forward like that, but in the presence of the Lord, who was help and shield for that poor woman. Praise God. They had to drop their stones. They had to walk away. Woman, where are your accusers? Hasn't any man condemned you? No man, Lord. Her voice was quiet. probably quaked a bit. She probably was still fearful. She knew she deserved condemnation. She knew the way she had been living was wrong. But the Lord said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, was that within her capability? Was she able to make the change like that? Not on her own. But when the Lord said it, when the Lord provided it, when the Lord let himself be known, he's the help and he's the shield. Praise God. She could step into a brand new day. She didn't go back to those lovers. She didn't go back to those who were taking advantage of her. She didn't go back to a lifestyle that was not fulfilling, that was empty, and trying to find a way to fulfill it. No. Sin no more. Not sin on more. Don't get the letters backwards. Seems like our culture is saying you can sin on more because the grace of God's going to take care of it. No. Thank God we can obey what the word of the Lord says, because he's our help, he's our shield. Amen. And no matter what you face, no matter what you come up against, you take time to look at Psalm 115, only 18 verses. Just read it through again and again and see trust, see help and shield, see blessing. Praise God, because that's what our God gives. And then let it always be, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Thank God. And I believe that's what he'll delight in. Because of his mercy and because of his truth, he'll lead us even closer and more powerfully in our walk with him. Amen. And our trust will be rewarded. Our trust will show benefits. Praise God. And the blessing of the Lord will come forth. Now, there's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be situations, not of our making or of our making, that we need help. And the Lord doesn't say, "Well, I hope you make it okay, because that's beyond my expertise." No. He says, I'll help you. And when we need a shield, and man, the enemy's throwing darts like crazy, and we're up against it. I mean, we're in trouble. Thank God, he's the shield. And our faith is the shield, believing that he's going to provide. He's going to bless. He's going to minister. Praise God. And I've seen it too many times to doubt, and test a whole bunch of people that the Lord has provided. Praise God. And in my own life, the Lord has provided just incredible, miraculous things. Now, we come through the water. We come through the fire. We come through the river. Amen. Our choice would be, "Lord, let me go over it. Or let me avoid it entirely. I don't want to monkey around with that." But no, he brings us through. Praise God. And the blessing of the Lord being so powerful, so wonderful. Brother Sam Hanlon received the Holy Ghost in Sterling Elementary in 1977. What's incredible is he was baptized, I think, 1948. That's a long time to seek the Holy Ghost. But God's faithful. God fulfilled his word. Praise God. And it was shaking, that gym, when he received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now, let me tell you about Sam Hanlon as a young Christian. A fisherman who oftentimes the seiners, purse seiners, had a good season, and they would get the settlement sometime in September, the payment for all of the summer's work, and it had to last all the way into the spring. And Brother Hanlon had a sizable family, so that money got used up pretty quick. In the spring, the skippers would grant men who signed on their boat, give them an advance. And that advance would see them into the summer months, and a little bit of income would start. Brother Hanlon requested that advance. It's in the mail. The check's in the mail. You know that old story. And he was out of stove oil. Stove oil cooked and heated their homes in Hoonah. And had 55-gallon drums on a scaffolding, on a frame, and pipes and so on going into the house, the oil-fired stoves. And in desperate times, you put a beam or a board or something in the back of it, and you lifted the tank so that water would flow towards the outlet, not water, oil. Better not be water. Oil would flow to the outlet through the filter and into the house. He did that. Still no advance so that he could order stove oil. He took the bung out of the tank. He peered down in there, shined his light. Empty. Stove still burning. Heater still going. House nice and warm. Second day he went out. No oil. Still burning. Third day he went out. No oil. Still burning. Finally the check came in. He ordered the stove oil. Filled up the tanks. God is your help and your shield. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Praise God. Sam Hanlon needed some money. He decided, I'm going to go seal hunting. We can use the meat for food. We can use the skins for money. So I'm going to go shoot some seals. That's the hunter. So we got in the skiff, fired up the motor, had his rifle, took off out of Hoonah, started down the beach, cruising along looking for seals that may be in the cove, maybe in the bay, and he got some ways down from town without telling anybody what he was doing or where he was going. And sure enough, there's a couple of seals in this cove. He whipped back around, beached the boat behind a point, dashed up onto the rocks, and looked for the seals in the cove, and up they come, the second one, boom, shot the first one, boom, shot the second one. You hit them in the head, the lungs still have air in them, so they float. Yes. He turned around, the skiff was floating away. In his excitement, he had just beached the boat, grabbed the rope, the bow line, pulled it up, didn't put a rock on it, didn't put an anchor in it, and the wind and the tide took the boat away. He ran down the beach to another point, hoping to wade out. He had hip waders on, hoping to wade out to be able to grab the bow line and pull the boat in. But the wind and tide worked against him, and the skiff was drifting away out of reach. He walked out as far as he could, couldn't reach it, and his circumstance, his situation really hit him there. And he began to pray. He raised his hands, closed his eyes. Lord, nobody knows where I am. Nobody knows to come and find me here. We need this meat and we need this money. Lord, I need your help. He lowered his hand right onto the bow of the skiff. No matter the tide, no matter the wind, the Lord had an angel bring that skiff right in front of him. He's your help. He's your shield. Let's stand. Now, you know, I could go on and on here telling you story after story after story of how the Lord has been a help and a shield. And you've experienced it. You know what I'm saying is true. But the devil comes with his attack. The devil comes with his lies. The devil tries to insert that doubt. The devil tries to bring anxiety and worry. And that's our human nature. We struggle with that. But let me encourage you. Let me assure you, the Lord has got it. Amen. Amen. He's going to provide. He's going to minister. He's going to direct. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's not my word. It's not my word. It's my testimony, my witness. But it's His word. His word. Praise God. We put our trust in. Let's come and pray.